Get fresh groceries delivered fast with Pick and Pay ASAP. Plus, 75 Rand off your first shop with code FRESHASAP. Now that's fresh.
You reach a stage where you're just like, I am enough.
Yeah.
And this is enough.
That's it.
And that's that on that, you know, and what's for me will align.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that has been for me that has ever missed me.
Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. Welcome to another episode. Thank you so much for liking, subscribing, sharing the podcast with everybody. We really, really appreciate it. Today is a big one for me. I'm sitting with one of the most incredible businesswomen in, I don't even want to say South Africa. I just want to say globally. I'm sitting with Linda Mabena Olagunju. She's a founder and CEO of DLO Energy Group Resources. Globally, she's one of the first Black women to own renewable power plants. A unique voice on climate change, a seasoned businesswoman, executive, and speaker. How does it feel to be you?
Exhausting at times.
I can imagine. Literally, yeah. I said to a friend, I was like, you know, I was reading up and watching all your interviews, and it's like, I want to know the person behind all of this, because it looks exciting, it looks admirable, but I'm like, there's a whole lot of sacrifice that's going on behind there.
No, definitely.
Let's start with some icebreakers and then we'll get in the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. If your house was burning down, what three objects would you try to save?
My kids.
No. Kids excluded. Family excluded.
Okay. Family excluded. Okay. That makes it a bit easier. My phone.
Okay.
My laptop.
Okay.
My bag collection.
How many?
How many bags are we carrying? Whatever I could carry.
Okay, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on the bag collection. Okay, if you could go back to any time period of your life, what time would it be and why?
That's an interesting one. High school.
Really?
I went to the National School of Arts, and I am so blessed to have gone to that school because we were allowed to be ourselves. We were reading, you know, Freud and therapy. We were going through therapy in a group setting, if I can say that. And it was just the best expression of ourselves in an environment where we were learning ourselves.
You know,
I think we had a very good high school experience.
You got to be free and like discover yourself in a safe space.
We did. And I think without that experience, I wouldn't be as authentic as I am today and showing up present, you know, as myself fully.
Okay. Yeah. Love that. Your get up and go song.
There's so many. It's a bit of a depressing song. Right now I'm listening to Asake, It's Lonely at the Top.
Asake, Lonely at the Top.
He's a Nigerian artist. Okay. And I absolutely love that song because I think he just encapsulates the feelings that come with where there's success in inverted commas.
Yeah.
But the feelings of how that journey is also quite a lonely and challenging journey.
Yeah.
So it's not a dancey song, but it's a song that sort of like keep on going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Last one. Tell me the high point of this week.
High point of this week has got nothing to do with me, but it has to do with a friend who has been going through some challenges and she won a very big contract. And you know the joy when good things happen to good people.
Yeah.
So it's not my highlight, but that highlight of her joy and sharing in that joy. Yeah. And I was the first person she called when she heard the news.
Yeah.
And just finally seeing a breakthrough come through for a friend.
Yeah.
That was amazing. The highlight. Yeah.
I feel like when we experience, especially when you go through journeys or just sad times with people and they finally get like something good, it feels like an exhale for everyone. It's just like...
It is, and it's also proof of God's omnipotence, right? That he can literally pull you out of a storm and just rewrite the chapter.
Yeah.
Like, I think that for me, that was just proof of God's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen you use the word God's omnipotence quite a lot. What is it? What does that mean to you? And what is it about God's omnipotence specifically that you speak of him that way?
I think... sometimes God elevates people who society may not necessarily deem them worthy of elevation.
Yeah.
And he'll use you to show how powerful he is. You know what I mean? And That's what I mean by it. It's like I think my life has been a life of like, I shouldn't have, the way my career path went is very unconventional.
Okay.
I shouldn't be where
it shouldn't
I
be
am.
You.
You
yeah.
know what I'm trying
yeah.
to say?
Yeah.
And that's proof. I'm living proof of God's power and omnipotence. And
yeah.
some of the rooms I've been in, the people I've met, the things I've accomplished, sometimes you can literally feel yourself having the outer body experience and saying, this is God saying, this is what I'm capable of doing through you
yeah.
and to inspire others
yeah.
through you.
Yeah. yeah. God has a habit of saying, well, if not you, then who? And also, I need to use you so that other people like you can feel like, oh, okay, if God can use her, then surely he can use me too.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to speak about your work.
Okay.
Your
work. Yay.
I don't want to speak about your work.
Yeah.
I think your work really does speak for itself. However, I do want to understand your upbringing. Who gave you the permission? Who affirmed, or what kind of home did you come from where you could stand and be a first? Either a first woman or a first black woman or a first this. Who gave you that permission? What does your childhood look like?
Very deep questions you're asking. Ironically, this question comes at an interesting time where I'm reading Women Who Run With Wolves.
Okay. I've heard of it, yeah.
And it talks about the various, and I'm still at the beginning, right? Because it's a book that requires work.
Yeah.
And I always say, whenever I pick up a book, you need to be ready for the
ready
journey.
For it. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when I look, and to answer your question, I can't pin it down to one person. There were women in my lives that I saw different aspects that I took from.
Yeah.
So I took certain OCDs from my mom.
Yeah.
I would say that my mom is one. She's a 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. Person.
Yeah.
Hard worker.
Yeah.
I took. I would say I observed my aunt, her sister, become the first. She was the first, you know, one of the first black female town planners in this country.
Okay.
And I observed her work ethic, and I saw her in terms of what she built in terms of being a business person. My grandmother as well.
Yeah.
Her work ethic was insane. She was a home builder. So that's the aspect I also take from my home life, because I love to cook. I love to bake. I love to be present as a mom. So that's certain aspects I took from different women. But also, I think we grew up seeing very hardworking women.
Yeah.
But we didn't see women who were relaxed. And I remember seeing like a post on Instagram recently where I didn't see women of leisure.
Yeah, women
you know,
resting.
Who were resting.
Yeah.
And as I transitioned to my 40s, I want to be those women who are more chilled.
Yeah.
You know, and not just about only the external accomplishments, but also my focus now is really on the internal accomplishments.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Has your path, and I mean, you already answered that your path hasn't been linear, but did you know that this is where you'd end up? One, in the field you're in the energy sector, one, and two, I mean, you studied law, right? And two, in a space where, just as you're about to turn 40, like, okay, I'm accomplished. It's great and all. However, I want to be a woman who also shows rest.
To your first point, and again, this is a God thing. I remember picking up a book. I was an early reader myself. And I remember picking up a book that had the map of Africa. And it showed all of the natural resources in each country on the continent. Yet we still ranked as one of the poorest continents in the world.
Yeah.
And I've always hated injustice as a child. So growing up within that transition between apartheid and, you know, freedom, you know, or the new democracy, the new dawn. So I experienced both apartheid and I experienced living under the so-called new dawn in a way, you know. and for me, injustice is what drew me to law, right? Because I wanted to be knowledgeable about what my rights are. So even at school, I was one of those who was always fighting. You know, I was the one who was starting the strikes and gathering the students. I was always active in my student movement. Even at UCT, I was part of the Black Law Students Society.
Sure.
I would go and teach in townships. I always wanted to change things within my community, right? So why electricity is because if you look at economic performance, it is linked to electricity and power.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be involved in something that was going to uplift our continent,
sure,
make it easier for people to do business. So I've always known I'd be an entrepreneur, but I also wanted to be an entrepreneur that contributed beyond myself, if I can call it that way. And I found the space in renewable energy, but I found it in a very indirect way as well.
Yeah.
Gain God, because I was working for, I went to Scotland to study an oil and gas linked degree. I got a scholarship to go there, and I ended up being an admin assistant to the Aberdeen City Council, and they were building their first offshore wind farm. And that's how I got into renewable energy, reading up on it. And we're having the blackouts here in South Africa. And I was like, how can I bring this back home? How can we start solving and solutioning our power crisis? And that's how I got here. Then I think you asked about...
The woman of rest.
You know, I think as Black women, we wear struggle like it's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And also like the struggle, we're always taught hard work and the struggle. And I do
hustle,
believe,
boss,
you know,
babe. Yeah.
Yes. But I also believe money, success is also energy. It's also what I think we have a very misguided relationship with money and success.
Mm-hmm.
We typically as Black people believe you have to do so much hard work.
To earn it. Yeah.
We're undeserving. Unworthy.
Yes.
But I think once you do the work internally with yourself around, I am worthy.
Yeah.
I am enough.
Yeah.
Just by being.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You stop operating from a place of seeking the external validation.
Yeah.
And operating from a place of scarcity.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you start operating from a place of abundance.
Abundance, yeah.
Once that switch happened within me, and it happened this year predominantly.
This year?
Yes.
Why am I finding that so hard to believe?
It only happened this year. No, like in the true sense, because I've always, and I mean, I still believe, I don't, look, I'm not saying that you're going to just rock up and
like
do nothing and then I'm abundant and everything flows to me.
Yeah,
no.
Manifest candles.
I think if you've paid your dues as well and you've done the work, right, I do believe at some point you need to rest in your capabilities and your abilities to attract the opportunities that are due to you, but you must also feel worthy of those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're always showing up with this imposter syndrome, how
you repel it.
Will you?
Yeah. I read the book, The Secret. I don't know if you've ever read it.
I have.
I read it in 2018 and it literally it changed my life. I don't speak a lot about it because there's certain things I don't agree with, but there's so much that I learned from it where it's like you, like what you're saying, it's like you first need to be in that place of I am worthy, I am deserving. And then everything needs to flow from that. But like you said, I think we wear this badge, and particularly as Black people, that we need to earn everything. We need to earn our place. We need to show that we've worked hard for these things. And it's like, for me this year, my shift was I need to go from being, from doing and just being. And it's like what you said, it's a combination of you. We have to do the hard work and all of that. But more than anything, it needs to start from a place of being. Like it's my, I am an abundant person and everything that I do flows from that place of abundance.
And I mean, it's the conditioning. It's like you said, the examples we grew up seeing, right? It's the proving.
Yeah.
It's the wanting to fit in and belong,
yeah,
you know? And if you reach a stage where you're just like, I am enough.
Yeah.
And this is enough.
That's it.
And that's that on that, you know, and what's for me will align.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that has been for me that has ever missed me.
Sure. You know? And you need to really believe that.
And that's the only way you can actually be happy for people.
Sure.
Right? People, because,
wow.
Yeah, that's the only way you can actually really be happy for people is that you need to know it wasn't for you.
Mm.
It's not for you. Mm. And not everything can be for you.
Yeah.
You know?
You can pray until you go out, but if it's not, it's not.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, tell me, when it comes to navigating leadership as a woman, I've found it rather tricky. Because there's an element of, for me personally, I haven't seen a lot of direct leaders in my family, women who started the business and ran the business. So it's been tricky for me. It's okay, I have this side of me that's a lot like my dad, and maybe that's why he ran a business. But I also need a side of me that is, I also have a side of me that's soft. But every time I bring that part, I feel like my business does not progress. So how have you navigated leadership as a woman? Firstly, particularly because you're in a very male-dominated space. And two, just being fully yourself. Like, I was shocked to hear you say you like baking, you like cooking. So how do you make sure that you navigate as a leader authentically?
I always say this to anyone who wants to start a business, that are you sure? Because you never stop when you start a business,
wow,
right?
Yeah.
You're never off.
Yeah.
So I found a way to integrate my business into my life.
Yeah.
So I used to work in a law firm, and I found that law firm environment, for me anyway, very toxic.
Yeah.
Because you cannot present as yourself in that corporate environment where it's very like, you know. And I've got a wacky mix of being very corporatized but also very creative.
Yeah.
Hence why I went to the National School of Arts, right? So I got to a stage where I was like, if I'm going to do this on my own, I have to be able to show up as Olinda in all the spaces I occupy.
Mm.
And I cannot wear a mask.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's either you get it, you like it, or
you
don't.
Don't.
And funnily enough, the best business I've done has been with people who know myself, who know me fully, right? The complete size. So a friend of mine was like, how do you navigate from meeting like the president one day and you're dancing to Amapiano the next day? I was like, does the president not listen to music? Whether it's jazz or whatever, somebody taps their feet to something. These are human beings, right? And I think that's the other thing. When you humanize people and you actually realize there's a human being behind that title and that success, and they actually just want to be seen, you know,
that's
then
it.
You
that's
start,
all we want.
You start to have authentic relationships with people because they also trust you. So business is built on trust. So people can see when you're wearing a mask, and a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people can see that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really do you any good, and it actually slows down your growth and progression. Another thing is I like my home life. I like my kids. You know, I like cooking for them, and I don't think we are one dimensional as people. They're very different interests and facets to us. So I don't know if you saw this week the article about the Goldman Sachs CEO who moonlights as a DJ, and he had to quit because people are saying, oh, the company is not performing because of this side gig. I'm like, no, if you're happy and you're showing up happy at work, you're performing better.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
And for me, I really just don't have the energy to wear a mask anymore. No.
Have you ever found yourself having to tone down who you are?
I have. People always request that of you. Like, the request can be made, but access can be denied as well.
Okay,
you know?
I love that. The request can be made, but
access
can
be denied.
Okay.
You know, I worked too hard to be me, to have someone sort of... I'll give you a simple example now. Like, people are like, oh, no, with everything that's going on in Palestine or whatever, don't put up anything, you know, like about you're a business leader.
Shut it.
I'm like, where there is injustice in the world, irrespective of where it is, I am impacted, firstly, as a human being. Secondly, as a South African who has, you know, lived through the horrors of apartheid. And it is okay to ask questions. It is okay to voice opinions. We cannot be living in a world where we are afraid to be ourselves because we are afraid someone's going to stop our checks.
Accurate.
You know, what kind of a world are we living in, and what kind of a world are we encouraging our children to live in? I think that... once you do that, there's too much fear because people accumulate things and then the things own them, right? They're too afraid to lose those things. And they don't realize that it's God who gives you those things and it's God who can take those things away. So for me, I think that once you go down that path of being too cautious, being too worried about your public image, you run the risk of losing yourself.
It's prison.
Yeah.
Sounds like prison. Yeah. You touch, and it's my question here. I spoke about it this week, and I was talking about I've ditched the idea of balance, and I'm leaning into integration. And I'm so glad you touched on it. How do you define balance, and how do you define integration, and what does integration look like for you right now?
So for me, integration, I'll start with the integration because balance is tricky.
That's literally what I said. Balance is
really, it really is, because there are some days or some weeks where it's like kumbaya.
Yeah.
I'm meditating, I'm yogaing, I'm working out. Everything is just zen. And it just takes one phone call, one thing.
Done with this life.
And then you're back to square one,
yeah.
Right? So, and again, this year has been so profound for me. So I've learned to bounce back from those low moments quicker. Because I used to be one of those people, I'm an empath and I feel my feelings. Yeah. Something would knock me out for like a couple of days. And my husband would be like, "What? Okay, it has happened. It has happened. Why are you marinating in that emotion?"
Yeah, sure.
And I've learned now to sort of pick myself up a bit faster and accept things a lot. Because I've been through so much that if I were to sit and dwell, you know, on every single thing, I would really not get anything done.
Yeah.
And I think this year was the year where I really began my journey of mastering my mental strength.
Mm.
I must be honest, because a lot happened. But in terms of integration, I would say integration for me is realizing that I am constantly working.
Yeah.
But I do things differently. So I try and work from home as much as I can.
Yeah.
I try and have fun on my work trips. So I make sure every trip I take, I am having a good time whilst I'm there.
Yeah.
I do the things I'm there for,
yeah.
But I also incorporate fun into everything I do. And I think like just everyone who works with me knows my kids come first.
Yeah.
So sorry. Oh, really? This meeting has to be extended. Okay. Sorry. I've got a school run. Like it has to, you know,
everything
everyone who works
that.
With me is around that. So I've integrated my kids into my business. Because I mean, that's one of the points of why I have businesses around them, but also wanting to be a present mom. So integration for me again goes back to authenticity, because if you're honest with the people that work with you and they know how you work and your working style, they're okay. But that doesn't mean like I'm just kumbayaing.
Yeah.
I work late night, so I still do the mummy things from 3. It's homework, it's, you know, reading, it's all of that. 7:30, the kids are in bed. My day still continues, unfortunately, because I've got a ton of work to still do. So that's how I integrate. It's just I try and weave the two together.
Everything in.
Yeah.
Balance, have you ditched the idea of balance, or you've just never kind of bought into it?
I tried to, but I realized life will happen to you. So balance for me is accepting when things don't go as planned.
Okay.
So balance for me is I will try my level best to do the self-care stuff.
Yeah.
But I also recognize that there will be no self-care if I'm not handling the business stuff. You
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
So I try and do both. But also one of the things I think I've done this year as well around balance is to have one play day for myself a week, which
what
I didn't.
What does a play day look like for you?
A play day is like maybe go for a game of pedal with friends, go for a dinner with friends. Just have one day that, or just sit in and read and rest or go to the spa.
Yeah.
It's important to remember to play. I wasn't doing a lot of that the past 2.5 years because it was just like the weeks and weekends. All I'd do for the weekend was just to recover, literally.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's not sustainable. Neither is it healthy. So that speaks to balance. So balance has sort of been like, okay, rest a bit more where you can and also incorporate fun a bit more where you can.
You're about to turn 40. This is like my favorite conversation.
I can't believe it. I used to think 40 was so old.
And now you think of it as just like, it's actually quite young. So you're about to turn 40. I'm about to turn 30. So I think it's two like big milestones. I want you to almost take me through the person you've been in the 20s. The 30s, and what you think you're taking into what you're excited about for the 40s.
Okay. 20s was an episode of Insecure, I would say.
Okay, thank you for freeing everybody.
So, no, it was, look, I was focused on the wrong things, I would say. I was focused on the external validation. I was focused on the love relationships, you know, trying to find the one, at some point. But more so, I mean, I wasn't so focused on the love, but also on the career goals and what I thought was success. I was very like tunnel vision. And I'm grateful for some of it because, I mean, it's built a lot, but I just wish I'd had a bit more fun in my 20s.
Are you me? Because I am you.
No, truly, I do. 30 was more a dedication to marriage and my kids and family and building still the business. You know, I'm still in my 30s. Yeah. I'm holding by the straw. My brother always says you're like 2 minutes from 40. Like, but anyway... But the tail end of 30 for me has been liberating, right? Because a lot happens in the tail. You know, when you say you go through the most.
Yeah.
I think this year, last year, the past 3 years have been that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where you're just like, oh my gosh, Lord, I understand that there's a lesson here, but damn.
Please.
Can we move on to someone else? Can someone else get this education? But what it's done is that it's freed me.
Mm.
The struggle relationally with friends, with family, with partner have freed me in ways, you know, that I didn't realize I needed liberation.
Sure. From,
you know?
Yeah.
Also just it's taught me how to navigate conflict.
Oh, teach us.
No, I mean, I've had so much conflict, right, from different angles.
Yeah.
That, and I remember doing this exercise, I think it was the first year at UCT where we had conflict management, right? And the lecturer says, stand here, the other person stands here. This represents conflict. This represents you, how far you move away from conflict. Where do you sit? And I stood right in the middle. And she's like, no. That's not realistic. It's either you avoid conflict or you confront it. So I realize when it comes to conflict, taking on other people's cases or matters or fights, I'm that girl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there.
But
when it comes to your own personal circle, family, people you care for, I realize I avoid conflict and I take some things until a point where one day you just blow up.
Yeah.
Because you just like, you, as in...
You can't involve.
Are people really going to take the arm?
Yeah.
The leg?
Yeah.
Like as in, what's left? And you're always waiting for people. And my husband was just like, you struggle with boundaries.
Mm.
You struggle with boundaries.
Mm.
And that was the lesson I learned in your personal, your most intimate relationships.
Yeah.
And until you resolved that for yourself around boundaries and not being... a people pleaser.
People pleaser,
And one, I wouldn't say I was a people pleaser externally, but maybe to your close circle, to an extent, we are people pleasers.
Can I quickly jump in there? Do you not think, and I'm looking at it from your side and trying to personalize it as well, do you not think that element of, and I know that when you say people pleaser, it's not like you're just like lying dead. It's just like, you know, intimately, you want to make sure it's okay. Do you not think it's a bit of a guilt for being successful? Did I just touch a nerve? Did I touch a nerve?
You asked which song. When you're done with this podcast, listen to that song. Even if you don't understand the lyrics, look them up. And there's a... Yes, and yeah, and I think success or... And I keep using inverted commas because for me, success is really... it's broader than what we define it, right?
Yeah.
It comes with many challenges that people don't speak about. And the loneliness that comes with that, the survivor's guilt that comes with that, the resentment that that attracts, it changes the tapestry of your relationships. And it's a hard one. But I think also it's something that God keeps testing you on until you... Each level you move up, there's a loss. There's a loss.
Doesn't end.
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask the Jeff Bezos of this world if it ends. I'm not yet there, but...
But I feel like now that you mentioned like a Jeff, I feel like they don't, men particularly don't get shamed as much as women for loss. of people in their lives.
They don't. And you've hit the nail on the head. And also, men have a very different emotional relationship.
Yeah.
Something I've observed with my husband as well. His no's are very easy. Hey?
Yeah, it's just like, no. Yo, like, with you, you're just
in internal turmoil. I phone people to consult. And it's just like,
no.
What's going on here? No.
No, that's
yes,
it.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I want to get to that level of, and that's the thing. I think this year for me has been that. I've been tested. You know, some of the requests this year have been so ridiculous. You know, you're just like, are you... Am I hearing you correctly?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you actually saying this?
You know what freed me in one of my relationships? And that's when I knew that this is an important relationship for me, is I asked a friend, an older friend. Mm. I love keeping older friends. Mm. I asked an older friend for a favor, for something, right? Mm. And she said yes. And I was excited. And then like 2 days prior, she came back and she said, I just don't want to anymore. Mm. And that was it. She didn't over-explain. Da, 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 da. And I was just like,
that.
She just gave me permission to do the same with her.
And, yes.
And I'm secure in knowing that I don't want to throw her away because she just said no. It's just like, wow, you've just given me permission in this relationship to be able to say no.
Yes. And that's the thing, right? Most of our early high school friendships that go into adulthood are also founded on people pleasing.
Yeah.
If you start to interrogate.
Yes.
Right? And you start to go a bit deeper.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that happened to me, is that my friendship circle changed quite significantly. With each level you move up, it changes quite significantly. And you're right, there's a shame that, oh, it must be you.
Nah,
you must be the problem. You know what I mean? You know, like, yeah, or something, you know.
Yeah.
And that usually comes from the women, you know, or family members observing, you know.
Mm.
But also we need to be honest that friendships are for a season and for a reason.
Yeah.
And at different stages in your life, you also need different energy. And one of the interesting things is that the people who are my lighter friends or my social friends have become my inner circle.
Okay.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah.
Because, and this is because I was so hell-bent on defining best friends early. I was always one of those people to try and lock things down, and you have a category and then all of this stuff that you never really explored.
Yeah.
Those other, and also life, right? Those relationships were not, because people were walking their own journeys.
Mm.
The synergy never just aligned.
Yeah.
The energy never just aligned. And they aligned later on. And I'm so grateful for those relationships, particularly where I'm at. And also because there's just a mutual understanding, you know, and there's something sacred about friendship with women, you know, that can't be explained. And, you know,
And I think when you find it, you know.
You do.
You just know.
Yeah, you do.
I was at an event, and I touch on this a lot because it stuck with me, with Vusi Thembekwayo.
Mm.
And he spoke about scaling, right?
Mm.
And he basically explained how I think a lot of us as Black people, and this is because of systems that were just put on us, we know how to build businesses that make money to sustain.
Mm.
But that's where our businesses end. And I realized when he spoke about that, I was just like, he's absolutely right. Because if something happens to me today, maybe I'll be fine for like a year.
Mm.
But is my business actually like scalable? Like, can I actually call it that? Or am I just self-employed making enough money to sustain a life?
Mm.
So now looking at that whole conversation as women, and you speak a lot about startups, etc. How can we best equip ourselves or be in the right networks to ensure that we're building sustainable businesses that are scalable?
Very good question. And it's a very interesting question, because I was having this discussion this morning with a friend of mine, that South Africa presents a very unique economy.
Yeah.
Right? You either have the startups where it's literally moms and pops where you've started it yourself.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Black South African economy now, right? Or you have the BE phenomena, where people scale without having built foundation.
No systems. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So you're owning a mine.
Yes.
But you don't know how a mine works operationally from the bottom up. So you're a success, but there's no system building here.
Yeah.
You see? And there's an abundance of wealth.
Yeah.
But there's no generational legacy building or generational wealth. You see? So for me, and it's not, a judgment or a
criticism. No, we're not pointing fingers. Yeah.
For me, it's an observation. And I think it's not just a South African thing. I think as Africans, especially for businesses that are founder-led, even you see it in countries such as Nigeria, you see it everywhere. They struggle to sustain post generation one.
Yeah.
Which, so generation one would be the founder.
Yeah.
Because we don't really invest in systems and succession planning.
Yes.
So before I even sort of like started my business, I sort of had a plan. And I wanted to make sure that I was not going to be a person with the business dies when I die.
When you die, yes.
You see?
Yes.
So that's very important. Another lady who speaks a lot about legacies, Ipeleng Makari, who I found so wise about these things.
Mm.
So she spent some time in India just observing family businesses and how they actually also, you know, pass it down. So to your question, how can you do that? It's just by, one, also educating yourself. There's so much free stuff on the internet. A lot of people use TikTok for the moves, but there's also a lot of business education on. No, like as in, like I get my piano dance steps from TikTok.
Yeah.
But I'm just, there's a lot of educational stuff there. So just little things like how to scale a startup, right? Reading up. There's actually courses on scaling, business courses, short courses on how to scale. Just understanding operationally your business, you understand?
Yeah.
And if your business is a service, how do you then manage that service, you see, without you, the founder, always being there? You're building a team that's there to sustain you. And no one has this figured out. You learn on the job.
On the job.
I also learned, and I'm still continuing to learn on the job. And also one of the things I never stopped doing is learning. So each year I'd always be involved in either one fellowship or one leadership thing, because each of those, one, have built my network globally. Number two, they've opened my mind. So for those of us who were not lucky to, let's say, study at Harvard for an MBA, there are different ways in which you can do it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't make use of the resources that are there on the internet, readily available, and also scholarship opportunities for these things where you can actually go and learn about how do I scale my startup? How do I formalize my business?
Do you think we're all cut out for that, though? Or maybe just some people, you're just meant to start the business, feed your children.
And that's that.
And that's that.
I think it
Because it sounds complicated.
I think it depends on what you want, right? For me, I'd love to see Black legacy. I'd love to see Dangote existing 100 years from now, post his death, you know? I'd like to see us build those, because that's how you really build wealth.
Yeah.
Wealth is generational.
Yeah.
You must, like, as I'm working now, I'm thinking of my great-great-great-great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how this, what I'm doing now, is going to set them up as well, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a yes, and it's an individual thing. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like saying, do you want to be a small business or do you want to be a listed business? It requires a certain level of fitness mentally, physically, financially. So it depends on what your goals are as an entrepreneur. But I do think we have the phenomena in Africa in general, not in Africa, but also in South Africa, is that we want to eat the wealth now.
Yeah, we want it.
we want it fast, quick, and it's about us.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're thinking beyond us.
Yeah. And you touched on it with the whole eating now, right? Because we are a generation of instant gratification, and what we see, we like and we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so tempting to look at you and the platforms you get on, the titles, the all of that. And it's like, oh, I want that too.
Mm.
But I want to know what sacrifices have you made or continue to make to be you?
Very heavy question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you touched on that because so social media has made things look or appear easy.
Yeah. Like you just jumped in.
Yeah. Like, you're an overnight success, you know. I think even before I was on social media, and one of the reasons I came onto social media really is to encourage the hardworking girls out there, because I think there's such a big culture of reliance on men, reliance on beauty, reliance on things that are superficial.
Yeah.
And there's no better money than you'll ever enjoy money. Than your own money.
Yeah.
Don't care what anyone says.
And you'll spend it
better. And you'll enjoy it. Yes, it's nice to receive, happy to receive all the time. But at the same time, I know that I enjoy my own hard-earned cash a lot harder, but, you know, a lot more. But also, I just think the reason I also came on was to show that there was this thing at some point where people were just thinking this life of not really achieving anything or superficial stuff is the way to go. Mm-hmm. We also need to make business cool, guys.
Yes.
We need to show these kids that you can have the things that you desire based off your own efforts, right?
Sure.
And we were not, and I also found that there's a lot of great minds, business people who are not on social media, who everyone could really benefit from learning from. And I was like, we need to open up a bit more.
Yeah,
stop gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Stop keeping things as a secret. Like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? And it was also important to show a journey of those who followed me for a while, like a journey of the work and the consistency. So for me, the biggest sacrifice is about consistency. You know, you need to have that consistency. Every year you're setting a new goal and challenge and target for yourself. And once your calling is about more than money and about yourself and your ego, for me, it's about representation in places where people like myself are not seen. Right? So once I'm in that room, it's now possible. And I share so that people can see that it is possible to be in that room.
Yeah.
It is possible to be in better rooms.
Yeah.
It is possible to achieve these things.
Yeah.
So, I think the big sacrifice is people don't realize it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I say, I think I've earned my relaxation in my 40s, but I've been working, literally my first business was at 8. Informal business, selling peaches, selling sweets. But I've always had a business since the age of 8. It's always been a slow, steady climb. So there is no overnight success.
Yeah.
You know, the first project I did took 5 years to reach a point of success, or success as defined, you know?
Yeah. What does wellness look like to you right now?
Wellness to me looks like the commitment I've made to myself to work out at least 4 times a week.
Okay.
And I do that because I find I'm more happier when I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wellness to me looks like making time for journaling.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried meditation and failed so many times. I am still trying. I'm a work in progress.
Do you try sit on the carpet and do the whole...
I just can't concentrate. I start doing a to-do list in my head. That's the issue.
For me, a walk is meditation.
I think so too. Yeah. So that's the other thing. And being in nature once a week. So I go on these morning mother-daughter walks with my firstborn because she's at least old enough. I enjoy those because, one, we're taking in the nature.
Yeah.
But two, it's a time for me to also impart my knowledge on her because our kids spend so much time at school.
Yeah.
We're not the biggest influence in their lives. You know, irrespective of who you think you are, like what matters more is teacher, coach, and friends.
Yeah.
So it's the time I think I get to really just impart some of the belief systems that I want her to have. And we just get to chat.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then also wellness for me looks like planning fun things for myself. So especially for next year, I just was like, okay, each year now, let me be intentional. The vacation with the kids went so amazingly. Let me make sure I do that
one
every year for them going forward. Because now I've tested that they can stay put in a flight for at least 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
So let me just test their boundaries each year
and
see what they can do. Yeah.
What's the hardest lesson you've learned about life?
Shoo, human relations, hey.
Yeah.
Human relations are tricky. I think the hardest lesson I've learned in life is that somehow even how people treat you or deal with you may not be fair, but don't allow it to change who you are. You know?
Yeah.
Don't reduce yourself. And I was saying to my husband yesterday, I was so proud that this lady scratched my car yesterday. She was with her kids. And I approached her calmly.
Yeah.
Like my old self, you know, would have maybe been like a bit angry. But I was like, can we exchange details so we can deal with this? I can see you're with your kids. And she gave me this very negative energy, shouting, oh, I didn't scratch your car, denying it. The paintwork is there. You know, it's all there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about her. I think that was, again, a test from God to say, have you actually changed? Let's see.
Yeah.
I say to her, I'm not going to really engage in this. I wish you a pleasant day. Mm-hmm. I've taken your details of your car. Let's leave it at that. Yeah. I walked away. Human relations will test you because, unfortunately, people are disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. People are people.
People are. And I think that the biggest hurt in my life has been expecting me from others.
Yes. I don't know who said this, but expecting you from others is just disaster waiting to happen.
It is, right? Because people are capable of only being themselves.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that, but you can also accept and set boundaries.
Yeah,
and I think I'm in a place in my life where I can love people now from afar or with limited access to me because I'm also self-protecting. So some of the, and people see this as a bad thing, especially for Black women, where you're just like, yes, I love you, but from afar. You don't have to be besties with everyone, or you don't have to be braiding each other's hair. But it also doesn't mean you have to be sworn enemies.
Yeah.
I also don't believe in carrying that negative energy in me.
Yeah.
And also, I've stopped addressing people on things they know that they've done wrong.
That's wisdom.
I've stopped addressing. I think people know what they've done wrong.
Yeah.
And people are not always worthy of your explanation, of your feelings as well.
Yeah. I think it also comes from that. It's like a validation thing, that external thing. It's like, it doesn't matter anymore. My children are my biggest teachers. Mm. What is the biggest lessons or some of the most beautiful lessons that you continue to take from your girls?
Oh, they're so wise, those girls.
Yep. Those kids are wise.
Beyond their years.
Yeah.
But I'd say they teach me to be present.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They really do. Because on the days where it's stressful and I'm working, they'll be like, Mommy, don't you think you need a break now? Don't you think you want to come play with us? Come jump with us. So they keep me, to your earlier question, balanced. Because when they ask, it's harder to say no. And therefore, I end up going to play. And in that playing, I also release.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been my big... And also, I've gotten to heal a lot of things through my kids.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten to give them the love and nurturing, you know, that we all crave. And I'm very mindful of giving them a very good childhood that they're not going to have to heal from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I said that to my therapist. Yeah. I said, look, if there's one thing, I just don't want to be the reason my kids are in therapy.
Exactly.
And life's going to happen and they're going to get angry. But
exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, no one is a perfect parent,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
I just think that we all, for me, what makes a great parent is a parent that wants to learn where they've gone wrong.
Yes.
A parent that's open to apologizing. A parent that's open to admitting where they've been
being wrong. Yeah.
And I mean, there are times where I've just yelled at my kids from frustration because I'm dealing with other stuff. And I will still go and I'll say, you know what? That wasn't about you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. For me, I found that I did that with my child. My daughter, I actually grabbed something. I just took something from her and she didn't like it. And she expressed, because she's very expressive, and she's like, I don't appreciate that. And, and I came back and I said, I'm so sorry. That was so rude of me.
Mm.
And it's that permission thing again. It's almost like I gave her one permission to make mistakes. Like I showed her that mommy also makes mistakes. Mommy also just goes off sometimes, but then you can always come back from it. And it was such a simple, but for me, like a very important moment that my kids need to see me, one, making mistakes, and two, how I come back from that mistake, or how I come back from being a horrible, acting out of character.
It's so important to be honest with our kids as well, because we grew up in so much secrecy,
yes.
right? The rooms where the adults speak, and you can see there's something wrong, but you're not allowed to be there. So, and one of the things my husband was like, it's important for them to know what's going on with things consistently, you know, and, you know, and I'm starting to do that. I mean, there are awkward talks now about, like, where do babies come from? And, you know, you're just like, okay,
I'm not there.
You know, where you just like little things like that. And you just have to, because otherwise they get the misinformation from others.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to be that teacher rather than
information
get it from
comes
you.
From me. But my son the other day, I don't know what he was holding. So we have a lot of pregnant people in the family. And then he said he's pregnant.
Yes.
Do I explain it now? But he's three.
Yeah. And it's in little things. I mean, he's not going to do the full anatomy stuff.
Yes.
But it's in little ways that you can start, to be honest.
Yeah. My last question, what do you know about God for sure?
What I know about God for sure is that he will always show up. He will always show up. In the worst of times, in the most challenging times, he will always show up.
Always. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to my wall of wisdom. It's three questions. A quote or a verse that you live by?
Ooh, okay. I didn't think about that. A quote or a verse. The one on hate, right? Which is, hate is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I live on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keeps you grounded.
Yeah.
A book or podcast you highly recommend?
Oh, so many. But I will say, please read Changes. This is by the Ghanaian author Amanata. Oh, I forget her name. Please don't kill me, people in Ghana. But it's called Changes. If you are a woman that's married, and just for women in general, it's about the complexity of us finding joy in, you know, in these romantic relationships. Please read that book because it just shows our own complexity as women. Yeah,
Changes. What do you mean by that, finding joy? Do you think as women we struggle to find joy in romantic relationships?
I'll tell you what I mean. I think marriage serves men.
100%.
That's the honest truth. No matter how amazing your spouse is, men benefit the most.
Yeah.
They gain the most from marriage, right?
Yeah.
Their lives are accentuated in a number of ways. Yes, our lives are accentuated too. But I think that what that book touched on was the inner conflict we have as women when we are pursuing our joy, our career, family, societal pressures, etc. around that. And what I like is that it didn't have an answer.
Okay.
The answer is
within you. You have to find
You have to
answer.
Think about what your balance is in all of this. Because obviously life without a romantic relationship is also boring.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do want family and all of these things. But it's complex because I think that we don't really apply our minds to the fact that we sacrifice a lot more than men in marriages and motherhood.
Yeah.
They get to still have their careers
fully. Yeah. No,
like
changes.
Absolutely.
You know what
fully.
I was upset about the other day? I was upset that while going on my run, I have to wear a bra and I have to wear a tampon and my husband gets to just wear a t-shirt and pants and go running.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely got so upset because my bra was just tugging on me and it was uncomfortable. Yeah. And I was just like, I know it's out of, but it was just...
It's in little things, right? Like, and I mean, and I don't mean this in toxic relationships.
Yes,
I mean it in just general relationships. You have to carry the baby.
Yeah.
Like, let's
your body
there.
Has to change.
Your body needs to change. Yeah. Even if your spouse is staying up with you at night, me, I used to like hit the person like, you have to stay up with me. Like, even if I'm breastfeeding.
Yeah,
like,
well, let's
like, there's nothing
let's
left
all,
to be. Let's all be in this struggle together. We literally used to have a in our house, a room called Guantanamo Bay in Bahamas. So whoever was on baby duty was in Guantanamo, and whoever was sleeping was in Bahamas, you know? But what I'm trying to say, you take the time off work.
Yeah.
You're the one whose career slows down.
Yeah.
And there's a saying, as a woman, right? If anything happens, it's still on you, even if you have that supportive partner.
Yeah.
So I just think, and that's why you're seeing now a number of women challenging whether they want to get married or challenging whether they want to be mothers.
Mm.
For me, I enjoy motherhood. Glad I am, because I think I needed the motherhood as well. But I'm just saying, I think there's a dynamic we just don't speak about as African women 100%. Openly.
Yeah. And I'm glad you touched on, because it's something I'm speaking to my therapist about. And I was just, and she said something, she said, and between the dynamics of my husband and I, and she said, because as women, like you said, there's more responsibility on you, right? And men tap into their childlikeness easier.
Yes.
And then she said to me, it sounds like Brendan's ability to tap into his childlikeness triggers you.
Yes, it does. Why wouldn't it?
And it's like, that's why you get frustrated at him. And I'm like, but why is it triggering for me? And she's like, well, because it takes a whole lot more work for you, or you just don't know how to like tap into that so easily. So it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because
It builds, and that's the thing, right? When you look at older couples, the men is always looking younger than the wife.
Happy like, child, what? Good child.
And like, you know, because there isn't that additional, but again, not to blame the men. I think us as women need to start taking responsibility for our own playing.
Yes.
You know, and when you look at it, most of our partners wouldn't really resent us for playing, but we end up resenting them when they have a, like, why are you having a good time? Yeah, like, why are you so happy?
Why are you laughing?
Like, yeah.
Why are you sleeping in?
Oh, you sleep in. That's exactly it. That's what he would say. And I'm like, no, it's because we're not giving ourselves the permission to play.
But
as
we were
women.
Never given the permission to play. Especially as, and it's not, we're not blaming anyone. It's a conversation, like you said. It's not a conversation that's not had enough, where we end up being frustrated and stressed because you're not allowed to say these things. Like, as a firstborn girl, you take responsibility, and that's all you know. So when it's time to play, it's like, oh, how do we do that? How do I just not think about the other person? And just, how do I not think the house is going to fall apart if I don't step up?
So one of the things I've started doing a while back, though, is taking my solo trips with my girls, and solo trips alone and meeting people along the way, meeting up with friends. Very important. I think it's very important to make time for yourself outside of your partner, outside of your kids, outside of your work.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, because you can't pour from an
empty cup. Yeah.
You know, so that's very important. But also then I realized, you can't always catch a plane to find that.
How do you
incorporate that at home? So that's why I say I have my play days now, where I just make some time for myself outside of the kids, outside of partnership, and outside of work. And it's very important. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you touched on that, because I think it's not a me and you feeling only. And mentioning the book, Changes. Yeah, very excited to read it.
Yeah.
Especially because you mentioned that there's no answer. You have to find the answer. And that's exactly what my therapist said. He's like, well, you have to cultivate your own fun, tap into that childlikeness, so that you can just enjoy the relationship, find the joy in the relationship.
Well, most definitely.
Last question. Did you give me a podcast? Do you listen to podcasts?
Oh, I do. It's Oprah's Soulful Sundays.
Yeah,
I enjoy her.
Yeah, love it.
I miss her on TV. I say Oprah was the free therapy we needed as black girls who couldn't afford therapy when we were growing up.
So
I enjoy her.
And she showed us what a black woman thriving looks like.
Thriving and living with ease.
Yes, ease and truth.
Especially in her later years.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the fact that she walked away when her show was at its height.
Yeah.
And she comes across as having a holistic life. And again, authenticity.
Authenticity.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, you're going to fill in the sentence. A wise woman once said,
"It's not that serious." It really isn't that serious. Relax, it is not that serious.
It really isn't, but it feels like it is.
I know.
And I said to my mom, and I keep mentioning this, that, you know, I'm starting to give myself so much grace.
Yeah.
That, girl, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
You don't have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Now we're ungakhokhumoya.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Life will be fine.
Yeah. No, it really isn't that serious. And I think we tend to take life so seriously. And it's important to remember that we're all going to die. We really are.
Yeah.
And we need to try each day to incorporate one thing we would have wanted to do in that day if that was our last day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good way to live. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Being vulnerable, pouring your heart out. And I know normally your conversations are business and you're always changing the world, but I'm so happy that you allowed me to tap into who is this person who gets to do incredible things. Because sometimes in seeing that, it's like, oh, she's exactly like me. Yeah. So I can do incredible things too.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I thought this was also an important part of that journey to say, there is a normal person behind all of this
stuff.
You're
not just a soldier going out there. Yeah. Thank you.
Get Pick n Pay's freshest groceries delivered fast and easy. Shop the best deals from anywhere and they'll bring your groceries to you. Get 75 Rand off your first shop with code FRESHASAP. Now that's fresh.